And welcome back to another episode of the Black Watch Report. I'm your host, Thorn Rain. With me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How you doing this fine evening, sir?
Pretty good. Days after you have good days of Overwatch are good days, because
yes,
there's some days where like you just have like a terrible losing streak, and then you wake up the next day, you're like,
I dropped. I don't know if I could do it again.
I can't do this again. But then days where you're like, do I have like a bunch of really good games, even the ones that you do lose are like really fun. You end a little bit, you're like, okay, yeah, today's a good day now. So
feels good.
It's probably not good that my mental health is tied to my success in Overwatch, but you know, it is what it is.
I mean, when you've been following it for this long, it's got to tie in a little bit, just a little bit.
Like when my teams lose, or like when my predictions are bad, like
phew, you mean like, we're down. Yeah. Like the last like 3 weeks, like you know, FR picks, right? it's been brutal trying to go through contenders, and I don't think that's gonna change or get any better because hero pools seem to shift the play style so much down in contenders that there's no way of accurately guessing who's gonna make it to the end. I don't think, like, unless you're shrugging, you just always pick that one team to make it through. I saw what you did there, Shrug. But anything cool going on? I know like everybody's on lockdown, but like this is my human interaction time right now.
Yeah, right.
So it's like there's got to be something cool going on somewhere in the world.
Has anyone done anything? No, I went. I actually drove to the beach 2 days ago. Or yesterday? 2 days ago. That was super fun. We just went to the beach, just drove, and just like looked at the ocean for a little bit. Like that. And like, just, I think being on the road just made things seem normal again. And so now I've got like this kind of burst of energy again. And I don't feel like I'm stuck in my house all the time. So like, technically speaking, if you're driving, I believe you're still perfectly in quarantine, so long as you don't like leave your car. So you're just moving your quarantine to new spaces, as long as you're with the same people. And so like, dude, stuff like that was just super duper nice to be able to do. So I went for a nice little Sunday drive, saw the beach, we did some what, six stacks last night, dude.
Yeah,
and it was
some six
amazingly
stacks.
Fun because I don't hate playing Reinhardt if I have like an off tank and two supports that I know and can trust. And like, oh my God, dude, my Winston yesterday was disgusting. I was like getting great plays with the Primal Rages, man. I was like getting in, getting out, getting picks, not feeding ever. Like just certain games are just feeling it. Although my Wrecking Ball, dude, I need to get better at that here. I'm like, why am I playing this like D.Va? I'm just like standing. I didn't slam once.
I always forget like, that you can slam. Like that's why I refuse to play ball.
After watching the games from this weekend, like yesterday and today, I'm like, oh yeah, huh? It's like it's kind of a lot of his values from like going up and then slam. I should do that more instead of just like playing it like D.Va, where you kind of like fly around and then just start shooting things. So
I still haven't mastered him, but yeah, playing Overwatch in a six stack makes it to where you never want to play Overwatch not in a six stack. Cause like I've done, you know, duo queues, 3-4 stacks, but I've never six stacked, like outside of the looking for group. But yeah, man, having a group of people, because it was me, you, my son, I play games from Omnic Lab, Deathblow from High Noon, and then, you know, a friend of all of the Overwatch podcast, Yankee. And good God, was it just, there was communication. People were like helping each other. It was so nice. Like, I want to get on and play tonight, but I'm afraid that I won't be able to find a six stack that I can trust.
Yeah.
Like, it's so brutal. But I think that's enough of us. But actually, before I get into that, I'm going to call out one person. Shrug, we got to get some games in, buddy. I know you got to do quick play for right now, but you welcome to PC. Congratulations. Looking forward to getting some games in with you.
But
let's get into... We got some new Twitch follows. Fildus, Bland Chan, and Kahai Crusher, thank you so much for those follows. And then again, giving Shrug the shout out, resubbing for 19 months, and the Blevins coming in with 14 months. Thank you guys so much. You guys are really helping us out here. But Kyle, let's get down into this news here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just read a funny tweet. I'm just slightly distracted that apparently OnlyFans has reported 3.5 million new signups in March. That's just a funny thing.
I mean,
that's just a funny thing to see.
To be expected?
Like, I guess so, man.
I mean,
I'm like trying to read Twitter for like, is there any new team updates? Are there any matches that we forgot to cover? Like, no, apparently all we got is some stats on horny people. So, you know what? Let's just get into the news
it
here,
happens.
Man. So, Contenders rule changes have happened.
Yes.
This is a weird... I had to, like, read it, and then I still didn't 100% kind of get the full gist of it. But the one thing I did fully understand is... because of the shenanigans with missing a week or two of Overwatch League, like, we just got games for the first time this last weekend. The hero pools are going to be doubled up for this week. So The hero pools for last week are going to be the hero pools for this week. And then after this next weekend, they will be back in line with the Overwatch League teams. So the ones that were just picked with Mei being banned, Wrecking Ball being banned, Brig being banned, and... what's the other one?
McCree
again? No.
Yeah.
I feel like it was... oh, it was McCree.
McCree, Mei, Wrecking Ball, and Brig.
Okay, yeah. With those being banned, then those will start next week. So in 6 days from now. That's the one. Well, as well as...
kind
what?
Of.
Oh, yeah, I mean... yeah. Those will be the bans that will be played in tournaments, but maybe not Trials or Contenders with apparently how the things are going to go. As well... Trials teams will be seeded based on accrual and Contenders. I thought, did we know that or no? I think that's a newer change.
Yeah, that's a newer change.
Teams with more points in the current season of Contenders will be seeded higher in Trials, even if they have finished worse in the most recent week of Contenders. So, that is a bit odd that they're just like kind of the slightly more successful teams will just stay more successful, so you can kind of be a little bit more. I don't know if it really will lead to complacency or not, but I don't know.
The next part is the interesting
part. Yeah, if you
want
to take that.
The Open Division teams coming out of Open and going into Trials are going, like, the team that wins Open Division playoffs, finals, however you want to call it, they get to pick their seed. So it's not going to be like... they'll go in and automatically have to play, you know, maybe the top, you know, Trials team that got knocked down. They can basically set themselves up to easily, potentially walk through to the next round of matches. What it says is the Open Division champions will have an opportunity to switch their seed with the teams that finished second to fourth in Open Division. Then the Open Division team, which finished second, will get to switch seeds with the teams that finished third and fourth. Third place will get an opportunity to switch with the team that finishes fourth. The memo says this was tested in North America and will now apply to other regions after it's all positive results. So you basically, the top four are going to get to, in staggered order, get to pick... basically who their opponent for the first set of matches is. And that's going across the board now, which is kind of cool.
Definitely.
And it looks like they're also kind of allowing this to go to the top seeded Trials teams. We'll have an opportunity to switch seeds with teams seeded second through fourth, the top seeded Trials team. The rules for seeding the Trials teams as the Open Division teams are going to kind of match up now. So they're going to allow Trials teams going down into Open Division finals to do the same thing, or coming out of the finals to do the same thing. So.
Yep. I guess, oh yeah, there's one more news thing. I guess I can, you grab that one, cause I got to grab the roster one.
All right. This is actually kind of a big one. So, Korea Contenders, I'm not really sure who's been producing it. I think it's just been internally, like, Blizzard producing it right now. Like, NA and EU is produced right now by Take TV out of the Take TV studios over in, I believe it's Germany, right?
Yep.
I think that's where that's at. But for Contenders Korea, Afrika TV is actually going to be taking over. They signed a multi-year deal to run and produce Contenders Korea. So we're going to get some of that. I know everybody loves the Contender or the Korean production. We're going to get to see a little bit of that. Just watching the finals that we watched for, what was it, 2 episodes ago, I believe?
It was the last episode.
Was Maybe. It the last episode?
No.
Some of the transitions and, like, split screens that they're doing over in Korea Contenders.
Yeah, it's like the Tracer battle or the McCree battle. Dude, something like that's, like, really cool to see.
Can we get some of that production in NA? Because, good God, it was so awesome to watch the split screens when you had two people dueling and they showed both mm-hmm. point of views. So cool. But I think that's all for the scene news here. So let's get into this massive list of roster news here.
Yeah, we got one team did one thing. I did four things, basically. We already knew one or two of these. So what we did know is that there was the Panker and Mikey trade, was it?
Yes.
Yes, Panker and Mikey trade with Noble, with Panker coming into Sky Foxes. As well, Sky Fox has added three more players, Harui and Supreme. Harui is a Chinese player. Never heard of them. They don't have a Liquipedia. Supreme, Korean player. No Liquipedia either. Never heard of them as well. And then they did pick up Dans, who I believe is a main tank, right? Yes, a main tank previously of Atlanta Academy and then before that, Phase 2.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see they picked up two tanks and two flex supports. So, interesting roster moves there. But, like Kyle said, not a whole lot of roster moves this week. So let's roll right down into this quick play. We're going to talk about Trials and Contenders reviews. We're going to start off with NA Contenders. I'm going to kick us off here. I'm going to run through this bracket really quick, and then we'll get into our horrible, horrible predictions. Montreal Rebellion beating Sky Foxes 3-1. Noble falling in the first round to Karasuno 3-1. Triumph beating Revival 3-0. This is going to be the forever rivalry here. Just set them up to play each other every week.
Back and forth, back and forth.
Third Impact getting that bye because Atlanta Academy dropped out of Contenders NA. So that's going to give us second win going up against Montreal Rebellion. Montreal Rebellion looking good after their roster additions. What was it? Last trials week in between Contenders?
Yeah, with Numlocked and Shockwave they picked up.
So Montreal really beating Second Wind 3-0. Square win. Square one falling to Karasuno 3-0. And then the Saints beating Triumph 3-1. And Team Envy in. To who they lost to, it's not a shocker, but seeing them go out so early is kind of a shocker. Third Impact beating Team Envy 3-2. Montreal Rebellion falling to Karasuno 3-2. Saints. Saints losing to Third Impact. I almost flipped that one. 3-1. Sets up a Karasuno versus Third Impact finals. And Third Impact just looking clean in that finals. Giving a big shout out to the boy D-Cod because, man, was he on fire that whole matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Third Impact, take this 3-0. So, Kyle, why don't you run through our predictions? Because they're pretty darn close to the Saints.
So, yeah. So we both predicted Montreal to win, which we got that one right over the Sky Foxes. Yep. We both predicted Noble in the Karasuno Noble game. So Karasuno quite overperforming our expectations. I had Revival, you had Triumph, so you got that one correct. As well as we both had Third Impact because they got a bye. So we got one right definitively. But then this was a bit of a weird one with the Second Wind Montreal because we both had Second Wind. They looked really good. We knew that Montreal would get a bit of a boon because of these new pickups, but I didn't think we thought quite to this level of being able to 3-1 the previous week's contenders winners.
Yep.
So that's always a bit, or did they win or did they get second? Something like that.
Second one won that one, yeah.
Yeah. And then we had Saints winning, or no, we had Square One beating Karasuno. Again, got that one wrong. Karasuno is going on a tear.
Yep.
Then we had Saints winning, which they did end up doing. So that's good that we got that one right. And we both had Envy in that third Impact match. And they 3-2'd, and they're having a bit of a tough go, man. Academy teams are officially kind of looking out. Like, there's no... The era of Academy domination is officially behind us.
Yes.
So, unlucky. And then we both had second win in the top seed against... probably Square One, and it ended up being Montreal versus Karasuno. So we got both of those wrong. There was no way to predict that. And then we had Envy going in the bottom seed against Saints and then going to the finals, but we had that entirely wrong. So the matches that were streamed were Karasuno Noble, which was I think it was a good one because you started to kind of get the where this Karasuno run started and ended, because we got them both in the very first round and in the finals, which was cool to see. Looking at Karasuno, they kind of pushed this Bastion comp a bit. They had, I think Shiz is a player that's kind of come up kind of out of nowhere lately and has looked really solid. He's pretty like a super confident player. Like, I think that so long as your team is playing around you, like, that's just always good, because not always good, but it seems like it's really beneficial in this particular case, and that like you can kind of set the pace, set the standard, set the tempo. As well as Fix is like a good fragger Zen. I love seeing like Zenyatta's, you know, being able to kind of hold their own and get like an entry pick, not always relying on your McCree to like hit a good flank or whatever. But speaking of Bustio, was healthy. Able to kind of find, yeah, he was like, we knew he was pretty good. He's always just been kind of up and down on teams in the past. But I think specifically in chaotic fights, to where things have been happening for a little while, you've got some ults being used, none of them being used like super duper accurately, you know, didn't find value on this one or the other one. And so I'm thinking like that's when his opportunity is to like move up for a flank. People are distracted, things have gotten a bit chaotic, so then he can go boom boom, flashbang one, headshot the other, maybe hit a flanking Deadeye, whatever. As well, they did have an interesting Bastion comp that they ran on Control Center that was pretty cool to see. And there were some good notes from Noble here. Hopeful had some good Hanzo play, and then Gao made Sigma work pretty well on Eichenwald, but I think other than that, they kind of I think they just lost the individual role matchups, and then as a team, just the coordination was not quite there for Noble this week. Do you have any notes on these two?
No, I didn't start really taking too many notes until we got down into the the quarterfinals? Yeah.
Yeah, the two quarters and the two semis and then the grand finals. So I guess talking about Montreal versus Second, which is the next game, this was a weird one, man, because, and I think I've identified a couple places where this happens, but like we always believe Second Wind to be a big team, but like this is what Hero Pools does, man. Like, you, I think that this is the thing of like, we maybe need to start analyzing these teams as like, who is good at what hero. So like Dalton, his McCree is really good. It is really, really good. Almost as good as his Tracer, but it is not his Tracer. And so they don't have that. I don't think it's like his fault at all, but he's not able to step up quite as much as he was on Tracer.
Mm-hmm.
As well, man, Hagan, a.k.a. Kalouge, a.k.a. Arai, a.k.a. 19 other things.
Best known for his Zarya. D.Va.
Yes, not his Zarya. His Zarya got supremely outplayed here. Shua on the other side, roasting people, always high charge, always taking advantage of any wrecking ball that flies in, any Genji or anyone else who kind of just goes towards the back line. He's able to kind of play the more reactive style, let people come into him and then punish those overextensions as well. Like, I'm seeing a little bit here of things that we'll kind of discover in this Kersuna match in Leaf of his kind of low impact, I guess, on Doomfist. And he was like one of the best Doomfists back in
when Doomfist first came out. He was
literally the first good Doomfist.
Yep.
On what I can't remember what team that was. Gamer's Origin. So way back. And he's kind of just absent lately with the Doomfist. His Reaper was pretty good. But I think like the real standout here was Shockwave, who was brought in from Square One. We talked about him, I think, last week about how he was like, oh, this guy's really good when he played the Doomfist. And now he didn't even need to play the Doomfist. He just played McCree and was just hitting every good flank and just doing really well on that. And then interestingly enough, we also did see Roki in as the flex support too. He's normally a main support, but he's playing this flex support spot. I think he's kind of working on transitioning over maybe. So it looks good so far.
Might be one of those things where he's prepping for the hero pools in case you got to run like a double flex or something like that. Cause you that never know exactly how things are going to work out.
And he's two-weighted, so him and Kreev could hit a Zen Lucy, Zen Anna thing. He played a lot of Anna, I believe.
Yep, he was on the Anna quite a bit.
So that would be pretty good to see the two of them on. Because I, let's talk about Kalix when we saw Kalix have to play the Zen. So hopefully, hopefully we get some Roki Kreev support line for Toronto if you know what we're seeing here is true. Like Montreal just kind of got a little bit better hero bans this week or hero pools this week. Second win just kind of got a little hamstring, especially on the off tank spot, but also a little bit on the DPS spot. So yeah. Also, who is there? Shredlock. Shredlock's kind of a Reinhardt player, isn't he? But Reinhardt wasn't even banned this week.
Nope.
Who was banned this week?
D.Va.
D.Va, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit tricky. Like, I'm trying to figure out exactly what team that, like, why they didn't do as well as we thought. But I guess let's move on to this Montreal match versus Kersuno now. Again, Shockwave, good McCree. We knew that. Leaf continuing to be like up or down. One of the things that I saw is when it mattered most, he died. So like he died when it was like last fight, he was first death. Like those are the ones that really hurt as a team, is to see someone, instead of stepping up in the moment, just step down in the moment. And that's always brutal to see.
And for this matchup for Montreal, it was like Numlock was having a little bit of an issue. Saw a couple shatters that were wasted, like, directly into shields. Like, it wasn't even like the shield was pulled up last second. It was literally Reinhardt standing there with the shield, and he just drops the hammer. And it's like, why did you do that? On, I believe it was on King's Row, he had a bad one. And then Montreal also had, what was it? Let me pull up my other set of notes here, because there was twice. I think I only wrote down the one set of notes though, where Montreal was ahead on players, and they allowed Kersuno to stagger back in and rebuild a full force and take the point. Where was it? Allowing Kersuno to take the point with no contest, contest on, I believe that was Ilios Lighthouse. They literally just walked onto the point, Kersuno did, and just took it. Like, Rebellion didn't even attempt to go in. And then in overtime, they allowed them to literally come back. Who was it? The Tracer, Tao? No. Who's the Tracer?
Tao.
Tao.
No, that's for Kersuno.
Yeah, for Kersuno.
Bustio.
Bustio.
Yeah.
Was it Bustio? Yeah, it might have been Bustio. Was able to get back to the point, stagger enough for why am I getting all of these players wrong now?
Who are you looking for?
Karasuno's Shiz.
Main tank?
Yeah.
Shiz, yeah.
Allowed Shiz to get back to the point, and then after that, it was just one after another. The rest of Karasuno got back, and then they wiped Montreal and just won the match. And it was like Montreal could not close out a fight when it was needed for them to close out, which is actually really funny considering who it was against, because I'm going to talk about that same exact thing a little bit later. Because we saw it a couple times this weekend where people just couldn't finish.
Yeah. One of the things is, like I said, Bustio, we saw him do pretty good things on the tracer when needed. Yep. I think punishing Shockwave's flanks was pretty good for him as well. He wasn't quite going for the flanks as much, and or when he was kind of trying to counterplay them specifically. Like, he know, okay, well, right now I think McCree's probably going to go left. I'm going to go left as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hit him with the flashbang first and shut him down. And he did that a lot. False on the Zarya was a little bit up and down so far. Like, definitely didn't look super duper clean, but I think it, at this particular matchup, you didn't need to have completely lights out. We'll see in the finals where it comes together. And then Far on the Torb, man, I'm really not like completely sold on this idea yet. It's up and down, man. It's really up and down. Works pretty good on Ruins, but really on Lighthouse, on Ilios, his Doomfist was the thing that kind of won it. I think they were in last fight overtime. He had died on something else and came back on the Doom and still got like two picks. And then died, but like that set up the rest of his team to kind of come in and close up the fight because he'd got the 2-for-1 trade. And I can't remember on what map, but Shiz also got a huge key boop off on the Wrecking Ball as well. Might have been on Lighthouse as well. I can't remember.
Saw a lot of that on Lighthouse this week.
Yeah. So that was that matchup. I think Montreal just... Leaf is not like a problem player yet, but it's just something to kind of look at on like, why is he not able to perform as well? Is it just his decision making, or is he not being helped by his team enough? That it's just things like that were a little bit brutal to see.
Yep.
Third Impact Saints, though, this other semifinal.
Third Impact just so good this week.
Yeah, dude. Like, I think, and I mentioned this later on here, I think that this DPS line is probably top three in all of NA contenders, if not like one of the best. Just from, I mean, you've got three options you can run between Carter, Tayo, and Zeke, who I think they're all so good. Actually, no, I guess I think there's two. Like this matchup both was like the battle of the incredible DPS lines. You saw Saints as well, who have Aether and Acadia, who both, like, I think those two do most of the heavy lifting for that their team as well.
Yep.
One of the things for Third Impact I noticed is Zolik was really good on kind of playing with his McCree. So if Tayo went for a flank, Zolik was usually either right there next to him or pretty close by to still hit him with the armor pack if he got flashbanged. But that really helped him get value on those you know, counterplays. And then, specifically, like I mentioned, Tayo's in, Carter's out, and we see him on the McCree. Great value. Consistently good, too, especially. Not, like, up and down, as we see so many other hit scans play. Like, they'll pop off or just feed their brains out. Tayo's always got, like, a nice resting level. And then his Deadeye efficiency is really good, too. You can almost always find one pick, and it's usually a good one. So, I think, specifically, his decision-making is pretty good. He's definitely a high potential player I see so far. And then this Zarya versus Wrecking Ball for Icy Zarya versus Chain's Wrecking Ball, man. Ooh. That was a one-sided matchup.
Yes.
Chain would kind of be forcing this Wrecking Ball a lot. I didn't think it was quite good enough to warrant it being played exclusively in this matchup.
No.
Because he was getting bashed out, frozen out, and then just roasted by Icy, who's got like full charge 100 energy on the Zarya.
And I think that was what the Saints' biggest issue with this matchup was, is they were trying to force the ball. They didn't change. I'm pretty sure that Chain stayed on ball like probably 85% of the matchup. It wasn't until super late that he switched over to Rein, at which point I believe they were already too deep in the hole to actually be able to salvage anything. Need to work on not trying to force, you know, a singular comp. Yeah, Ball's not, you know, banned. Doesn't mean that you have to use them. We know Chain's got a pretty good Reinhardt. You could have been running a double shield of some sort. You could have been running basically anything other than the Ball, because Chain's Ball was just consistently shut down. I think that's where the Saints failed this week.
Yeah, there are definitely some problems there as well. I think Kraken Lacken, again, we know him for his D.Va play.
Mm-hmm.
His Zarya was pretty hit or miss. There was a grav on Busan downtown that got like a great 6k off of it. But as well, there was also a grav, I forget where it was, but it was like around a corner on Dorado. He grabbed back stairs on first, and no one was even remote. Like, he was the most in front of the rest of his team, and he would have had to still go down around and come up the stairs to follow it up. And I don't even think the cart was close enough to, for that to be a just preventing people touching the cart grav either. Just a bit of some weird plays. But man, like I said before, this DPS line, Aether and Acadia.
Yeah.
Acadia on this Tracer is so good. He was always getting 2 and 3 kills towards the end of fights. Aether's Doomfist cleans up fights, man. Like, these two are so good.
Acadia with impeccable timing on Ilios. Well, he gets an insane stick, direct stick onto Zeke mid blink. Zeke's blinking around, they're doing their Tracer battle. Acadia just quick flicks, throws the pulse bomb out, catches Zeke mid blink, and then boom. If I'm not mistaken, he got a second one with it. He took out one of the supports on top of getting Zeke with that one, simply because Zeke wasn't planning on the pulse bomb to come and took it right into his support. So Acadia just so good. So good. This Saints roster, when they're playing at a high level, it's a scary roster. We wondered if they were going to be able to keep this up, and they're proving that they can keep this up and they can play top level contenders against some of the mm-hmm. best teams in contenders right now.
I think they got a little bit hamstringed by the hero pools, but I think they are still a good team.
Yes.
I think, like, not allowing, you know, the best players to be on their best heroes so far was a little bit rough. But I think that they'll be okay moving forward. Talk about this final. Third Impact, Karasuno.
Jesus.
Kind of one-sided. I mentioned Far in the past, his Torb being kind of hit or miss. Didn't really find as much even now in this match. Like, he found even less in this match than he did on versus Montreal. Bustio kind of has some really good moments just on Havana first on the Widow. But once they were able to kind of find ways to shut that down, it didn't seem like he really had a way to answer back. Like, he kind of got... his first plan, like, plan A worked out pretty well. Plan B through Z, he didn't even really think of them too much, it seems like.
And then I was talking about how Montreal couldn't close out fights. We saw the same thing for Karasuno against Third Impact in the finals. There were so many times where Karasuno would go up picks, and then they wouldn't be able to, you know, take out Zeke. Decod would come in on the Ball super late and be able to hold on to the point long enough for the rest of his team to get back. Karasuno just not having that final closeout mentality, and it was rough to see, because there was a couple times where they should have won a point, and they lost out because of, you know, who was it? Tayo dropping in with a flashbang. I believe that was on Havana. Like, it was crazy how bad they were getting in clutch moments. They just didn't have the clutch.
That was, I forget what there's like the clutch factor, like an anti-clutch team. Like, I think before, I think early 2019 season one for, or 2019 season for Overwatch League, San Francisco had that issue. They were just anti-clutch. Like, when it came down to it, they could not perform. And we're seeing that from Karasuno a bit here. I mean, this is not a very well-established team. Like, the name has been around for a hot minute because this is the roster that eventually became Skyfoxes, or the team that became Skyfoxes. But this roster, I believe, is pretty new.
Yep.
I think some of these more established teams who've been together a bit longer might have more of a clutch factor because they know and are a bit more confident in each other's performances. Third Impact, on the other side, I thought was really, 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 really good here. They really stepped up. Zeke especially kind of popped off. So, like, this is another, like, double hit team. So you've got Tayo on one side who's, like, doing work, specifically on Havana. Defense, I think specifically more so, he was popping off. I think it was like on the first and second points, he was just getting like 3 or 4 Ks. But then Zeke on the other side too, if he gets set up by a grav or gets set up by some sort of ult, or just is in a long fight, he can get 2 to 4 kills almost pretty consistently during these fights. And so this DPS duo, like, they're truly a double threat.
Oh yeah. So let's talk about that Havana defense really, really quick here, because Karasuno gets point A. The cart literally just makes it through point A. Karasuno gets front facing, or the forward spawns. Third Impact doesn't back out. They aggress, and they aggress literally off of the back of Tayo right as the point gets taken, as the payload gets to the point. Tayo jumps off of the top rope with a flashbang, gets 2 kills. In the process of getting those 2 kills, allows other people to come in. They end up wiping the team to the point where there's like 1 or 2 that have spawned in the new spawn. So instead of backing out, no, they go to the spawn door. And I'm not talking just a regular spawn camp where they're, like, fighting at the door. We're dropping grabs. We're dropping dead eyes. I think there was a...
Transcendence?
There was a transcendence. There might have been a shatter. I think Decon hit a shatter also. All inside of the spawn. And they were just literally wrecking them forever. It was one of the nastiest, like, spawn camps I've ever witnessed in Contenders, and it all started with Tayo 1v6ing on the point as it was captured. Like, Third Impact is playing at a different level on Havana all around.
Definitely. I think where we did see a little hiccup from them was King's Row. I think Lyris or Elris or Iris or whatever, how you pronounce his name, he got some pretty good picks here and there, but I think on their defense, they kind of threw, as I think Hex says, through bad after good, through good after bad, I mean. And I think they used like 6 ults in a losing fight and still lost on their defense. So, like, there are definitely some, like, eh, I'm not really feeling this, guys. What you doing? And so there is a bit, you know, questionable play here. You had something, a note on Icy here, right?
Yeah, Icy, it was on their attack. He gets a grav. They almost have the payload to point two. So as it's coming up to the point, Karasuno has a chance to get back up and contest and prevent the payload from getting to the second point, adding to the time. Icy throws a long distance grav right at the front corner, right as, like, if you're coming from the defense, that first bend right there to go up the ramp. Throws a grab, grabs everyone, the whole team. I believe it was Zeke then walls off the grab, splitting the team in half. They're able to get 2 picks off of that, and then literally push the payload from point two after it hits all the way into point three, basically uncontested at that point, all because Icy threw a long distance grav. Like, there was, he had no business throwing that grav. He did it solely so they could get to the second point, and they were able to roll it all the way to point three, basically off of one ultimate. Like, big brain play from Icy coming in there on King's Row.
Definitely. And then I think the final big note here in terms of big brain is freaking Decod, man.
The Viking again, King himself.
He could, and he does it on two different heroes. His Reinhardt was really solid throughout most of the game. I think there might have been one misplay or two misplays throughout the whole match on Reinhardt. And then on Wrecking Ball, like, he was the first Wrecking Ball player we basically ever saw, only really brought down by his cat walking on his keyboard.
Yep.
If anyone remember that throwback. But, like, here specifically on Havana, he gets, like, two or three knocked off to kind of solidify their push through the third point here, which is pretty brutal because there's so much open space. Mm-hmm. And he's able to kind of just free up that whole point by getting some key boop offs.
And not even just on Havana. He gets, I believe it's two direct boops on Ilios Lighthouse. He grapples through the lighthouse, knocks two off, engages in ball mode, fights a little bit, and then grapples and swings around the point and gets a third knockoff. Decod, just like, his hamster is disgusting. Environmental kills. He had a couple zoning minefields that closed down one angle, forcing Karasunu to have to do, like, deep flanks. They were funneling them through a tight area on Ilios. Well, was able to get pickoffs because of the zoning ult, and then just aggressive chase downs on ball. Like, he doesn't back off. When Decod, we thought he was bad, well, not bad, but aggressive on Reinhardt. He's probably twice as aggressive on the hamster, and it works for him, like, a lot. Probably more than it should.
Yeah, I think as a whole, though, like, Third Impact was one of those teams, like, I had them rated pretty high a couple of different times, and I think we just didn't quite see it come together, but now we're finally seeing it come together, and it's good for me that I'm, like, justified in my picking them and rating them highly in the past, so.
That's fair.
Feels good. Feels good, man.
So now,
but let's look at this.
This seating, is interesting.
The points, yeah. So looking at the points, we saw 100 for first place. For any time you win contenders, 100 points. Second place, 50. I think third, fourth is 35, and then 20, and then 10. Top of the charts after 2 weeks out of four total, so we're about halfway in. Second Wind, bringing it home. First place with 120. Good start so far. 110 points. Kind of doing the inverse of Second Wind in that, like, really good 1 week, not really good the next. Exact opposite for Third Impact. 110 points in second. Karasuno, 70 in third. Saints, 70. Envy, 70 as well. So both of those teams, all three of those teams, are in third place. At sixth, we've got Square One at 55. Montreal at 45 at seventh. And then Revival closing it in with 30 in eighth place.
And that's just after the 2 weeks. Looking at kind of, this is what will set up the playoffs. Saints, like, just hitting that consistency. Even though we got a three-way tie with 70 points, Karasuno was low 1 week, finished second another week. Team Envy finishes second, low the second week. Saints sitting there right there getting those 35s right in the middle. Hopefully we can see them, you know, get one of these 50s or these 100s and jump up. And I'd like to see the Saints in that, you know, somewhere in the top three, because I think that would make a very interesting storyline going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. But then this EU contenders, let's just wrap this up real quick. Kind of just checking in on what's happening here. Clockwork Vendetta taking down Samsung Morningstars 3-1. Dreadlords taking down Nariki Esports 3-0. HSL getting knocked out by X Oblivion 3-1. And Young and Beautiful taking Not in Contenders out 3-0. British Hurricane coming in, taking out CV 3-0. Sheer Cold taking down Dreadlords 3-0, and then Exoblivion taking out the previously really good teams. They brought down Eternal Academy 3-0. Choose Money Crew falling 3-2 to Young and Beautiful. British Hurricane again taking the 3-0 again against Sheer Cold. Exoblivion losing to Young and Beautiful, leaving British Hurricane and Young and Beautiful in the finals, where, big surprise, British Hurricane take the 3-1. At least there's one region where an Academy team is still doing good.
Which, I'm going to talk about this really, really quick here, because I just pulled up the points for EU. Currently, no team in NA is locked in for playoffs. In EU, however, British Hurricane are officially locked in for playoffs. They cannot be knocked out. British Hurricane sitting at 200 points. Sheer Cold, Shoes Money Crew, and Young and Beautiful all at 70, with Eternal Academy at 55, Exoblivion 35, Clockwork Vendetta, and HSL Esports both at 30. It's crazy to see that we already have a team locked in for playoffs. There's still 2 weeks left to play. Like, that's nuts.
That's wild. Yeah, that is really impressive. British Hurricane's crushing it. I mean, this is a pretty established roster. You have Danid, Sparker, Molfig, Haiti, Jofi, and Rippa. Pretty sick team. I mean, they've been together for the longest time.
So,
I guess you can cover trials.
I'll grab this contenders trials, because it's about to get really weird here once we get down into the main discussion. Contenders trials, we see Team BM falling to top honor 3-0. Betalica beating Bravos Gaming 3-1. GC Busan Wave falling to Looking for Sponsor, I believe, 3-1. Meta Athena beating Balance Flame 3-1. O2 Blast taking out Top Honor 3-0. Lucky Future, that super stacked team, beating Betalica 3-2. Runaway doing runaway things 3-0 over Looking for Sponsor. Oz Gaming falling to Meta Athena. A Meta Athena kind of hitting that, getting their name back in there after they've had some rough weeks. O2 Blast beating Lucky Future 3-2. Runaway falling to Meta Athena 3-0. And then O2 Blast winning out the finals of Trials. Trials 3-0 over Meta Athena.
I wanted to check real quick, because this Meta Athena roster, I'm like, who is on this roster still? Poise is on there. We know Poise. Yep. Takoyaki previously. Takoyaki. Also on there as well. I don't know most of the other ones. Like, I think Flora I kind of know of, and then Inhyok, Jasper, Half, and Named. I don't know about those. But then their coach, Always Uv, was the previous coach of Lunatic High and Soul Dynasty. So that's a pretty good roster.
Yep.
And then O2 Blast again, still, we talked about this last time, Proper, Pelican, Kaiser, Yakpung, Kalios, Neko, Finn, like, those are some big names. Not quite as many big names as Lucky Future, who are still, they're still trying to mesh it out, it seems. So hopefully we get them kind of syncing together, because this is like a previous, like, almost all Overwatch League players on a roster together. Like, I hope they do well.
And one of the players who haven't gotten to play in Overwatch League yet, that I wish he would get an offer, someone sign Kaiser, please. Sign that man. So, let's get down into this main discussion. Contenders preview. It's a weird week this week, because we literally only have Korea contenders. There is no trials for NA or EU. We'll talk about that after. You know what? I'll let Kyle run through this little bit of bracket here. We're not going to try to predict anything. Just set up the matches.
We'll probably still watch these and review them next week. We'll probably like get all four or five, whatever, streamed. But I do not feel comfortable. Even if we're going to get entirely right, like, I don't think I could even remotely predict any of these teams.
Korea's
at the moment.
I just as up in
like
the air.
Three of them. I think we've watched only two teams so far.
Yep. And looking at the brackets, they're as confusing as NA and EU right now. So,
yeah,
like, there's no way.
So, starting out for contenders this week, we've got Lucky Future and Batlica facing off. We got Meta Athena versus Top Honor. You've got Runaway and Oz Gaming again. and you've got O2 Blast and Looking for Sponsor. Actually, no, Runaway did not face Oz Gaming. I got those mixed up. But yeah, O2 Blast, Looking for Sponsor. That way, those are going to all feed into T1, Gen G, WGS Phoenix, and Element Mystic are going to come in on those top of those. And we're going to see how this goes out. Is T1 going to be able to kind of keep things going again for a second week? Does O2 finally get to their comeback and start to be the team that we think? Does Lucky Future magically mesh and become the super team that we think that they can be? Find out all next week on Blackwatch Report. So I just started going with that. I decided to keep
it. Worked. It worked, flowing. Yeah. So now let's talk about trials. We're not getting trials until the end of the month. Let me pull this up.
It doesn't say.
If you go to North America, and then go to trials, week 3, and click on one of the things, April 28th, we have four weeks before we get trials. Now, the reason that's happening is we're pulling in new open division teams. Right. So, open division is going on. Open division season 2 is going on right now. In 2 weeks, the regular season will be over. They have 2 weeks left. Then we'll get a week of the playoffs where these three teams will face off against the top teams of open division. We're going to see Ascent, Simplicity, and Phase 2 facing off against the top of the open division. Now, you might ask, well, why is there only three? It should be four. Atlanta dropped out. So we're going to have to see how exactly that plays out. I'm going to assume that they're going to pull up an extra open or an extra team out of the open division playoffs into trials. But we will have to wait and see how that plays out. So the same thing is going to be happening over in EU trials. The four teams that are going to be going down into the open division playoffs are, I'm going to do this in backwards order because one of these teams is super shocking. We're going to see the Olympians, Vox Nihila, Barcelona Manacores, and Angry Titans playing in the open division playoffs. Angry Titans. That's nuts.
It's a very changed roster. The only person who was previously on there that I even remotely know of is Naga. I don't know any of these other players. A lot has changed for this team. But still, like, how the mighty have fallen, hashtag remember the Titans. I don't think we've been able to use that one yet, so we're going to go ahead and get that one back. I'm going to start farming that internet clout for the hashtag remember the Titans. But I think that's about it for these.
I do think so. Which made it a super odd week because we don't really have anything NA or EU to talk about because we gotta wait a long time.
Well, we will talk Korea next week. We're gonna try to look. It's a bit of a blessing and a curse to get these slow weeks, these next couple weeks, because then we can kind of start to try to find some interviews and talk to some new people. We have some good breaks. We're not like bothering people during their weeks of
hardcore scrimming.
And so we don't have to like worry about that as much. They're like, you know, in a little bit of a time, we're like, okay, we're looking to fill this new spot. We're just going to scrim tryouts, stuff like that. It's a little bit easier to chat with players and coaches and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll try to get some of those coming. We got some good ideas, but nothing locked down. So we're not going to announce anything just yet.
But that's going to wrap us up for tonight. Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at KyleTheWinner, on the High Noon Podcast Discord as well. Lots of fun stuff happening there. Always fun. Eventually, when Valorant drops, we'll probably end up, I don't know what we're doing with that, but yeah. If you're into that,
definitely
too,
checking it out.
We've been taking over the off-topic channel in the High Noon Podcast Discord for Valorant chat, so it's become that now.
Might just have to rename it.
Yeah,
maybe add a new channel. But you can find me on Twitter at Thorn Rain. I do all of my streaming when I do stream right here on the Blackwatch Report Twitch channel, which whenever we do stack, I do try to stream that just so you can see some terrible silver gold play and some really fun gun game matches between friends. That's where the fun stuff is. The gun game matches in between comp games. But
you're getting Dragon Blades.
Listen here. I can't play Genji.
No, no one can. He's a
and it took two
hero.
Dragon Blades for me to get a kill on Genji. I hate Genji. I hate him. But if you're an audio listener, head over to Twitch, create a free account, hit that follow button. We actually got a new follow during the show, Ben Foxington. Thank you so much. If you want to get your shout out on the show, create one of those accounts, hit the follow button. If you happen to have Amazon Prime, you have a Twitch Prime, that means you can sub to the show. We are affiliates, and that is a free sub. It helps out the show. Help us out absolutely free by sending in a review, either on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Just let us know if you do, and we will read that live on the show. One star, five star, we read them all. We want to know what you guys like and dislike about the show. Let us know. I have been posting everything up to YouTube. So if you want to leave a comment on the video, leave a comment on the video. We'll shout that out on the show also. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report and email the show at blackwatchreport@gmail.com and follow right here on Twitch at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, and our intro music is an original piece by our own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com and come and chat with all of us on that Discord that Kyle was talking about at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.